The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Cases of the highly transmissible Omicron variant are continuing to climb across Europe, with many countries tightening restrictions. We begin our latest COVID roundup in the UK, where one leading scientist has said Omicron will become the dominant variant within weeks. Now, here to tell us more is Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. Enda, good morning.
Hey, good to speak to you.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk to you about how things are going there, because there is an impression on this side of the water that life is going on apace in England particularly, and people are doing whatever they want to do, going wherever they want to go. What is the story?
So Omicron is here and it's spreading in the community. And it's interesting that, you know, a lot of the cases now are not people linked to travel. These people have been nowhere. So there's community transmission going on. But I think the one key point to stress today from the UK is that out of the 336 cases so far of Omicron, not one of them has ended up in hospital. So that's very good news. But if you look at how quickly it has spread, November 27th was the first two cases. Two cases on November 27th, as of yesterday, had turned into 336. So it is spreading exponentially. Community transmission, a lot of people getting it with no travel history, but they are not ending up in hospital.
Which sounds like good news. Early days yet, of course. What do you have to do, though? Suppose I wanted to get on the tube. Do I have to wear a mask?
You have to wear a mask on public transport here. It is now mandatory. That said, I was out in London on Saturday night. I was on the tube, and I would say 20% of people, by my calculation, were not wearing face masks, predominantly young men in their 20s and 30s. They're not wearing face masks. No one is challenging them and no one is saying a word to them.
Now, would the people who police the transport system, the underground, would they actually challenge someone not wearing a mask? Do they see that as part of their remit?
Well, it's meant to be part of their remit, but I think we're in a very awkward situation here where now suddenly the Prime Minister is now wearing face masks, if you notice. 2 weeks ago, he went to a hospital and he didn't wear one. So we're in a very strange situation where Boris Johnson kind of has almost given free rein to young men in particular. They feel emboldened. You know, they don't feel any obligation to wear a face mask. It is a condition of carriage on London Underground that you wear a face mask. And it was very odd Saturday night. I felt very uncomfortable. You know, you're wearing your mask and there's guys basically staring at you, saying almost as if to say, what are you wearing a face mask for? It's all over. And it's quite clear it's not.
Now, the question of working from home or working in the office, how does that divide?
So the advice continues to be that, you know, it's up to companies and individuals. There is no work from home mandate in England. Other places, other parts of the United Kingdom, that's still in force, Northern Ireland, for example. But in England, you know, we hit 51,500 cases here yesterday and 46 deaths. So we're nowhere near out of the woods with this. And I think the government is loath to put any more restrictions in place, Pat. Absolutely adamant, no more lockdowns. But the variant, you know, the early indication is it's more transmissible, but no one is ending up in hospital. That's the key point today.
And the booster campaign, Enda, how's that going?
Booster rolls on. The plan is to have 23 million booster jabs delivered by the end of January. So I think Boris Johnson really is putting all his eggs in the booster vaccine basket and hoping that that will be enough to get us through, to see us through the worst of winter and the worst of COVID and the worst of Omicron if it comes to it.
All right, Enda, thank you very much for that update. It's life as you want to live it, and get your booster, and maybe Omicron is not so bad. That seems to be the headline story coming from the UK. We will go to Denmark now, a country with a similar population to Ireland, which detected 183 cases of Omicron on Sunday. Joining me now from Copenhagen is Reuters correspondent Stine Jakobsen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you coping with Omicron? Is there pressure on your health system?
I think so far the Omicron variant has not reached the healthcare system. But of course, everyone is closely watching the spread. What's sort of special with Denmark is that we do a lot of testing and we do a lot of sequencing of the positive PCR tests. So actually, I just checked the latest number and today it's 261 Omicron cases here in Denmark. I mean, my guess would be it's a similar, of course, across other European countries, but we're not as much in the dark here, but no new sort of restrictions have been imposed on the back of this. But I mean, of course, it remains to be seen what will happen.
And as Enda Brady of Sky News was saying, it doesn't result in the UK in excessive hospitalisation. Nobody with Omicron has so far been hospitalised there. Is that the experience in Denmark?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we haven't got the sort of the specific hospitalization numbers on the different variants, but I mean, there haven't been reports of any very serious cases so far. Yeah, but I mean, still a bit early days, right, with regards to sort of the severeness of this variant, but it will be interesting to follow.
Now, earlier on in this pandemic, we were admiring what you were doing in Denmark in terms of using antigen testing to allow people access to hospitality venues, bars and restaurants and so on. What sort of restrictions are in force now in Denmark?
Yeah, actually, just I think it was it in November, some restrictions were reimposed, including this Corona passport, where you have to sort of prove vaccination, a test, or that you have been had, you know, COVID recently. So those were reimposed, and then you have to wear a mask in public transportation and, you know, retail stores. So but broadly, society is open. Christmas parties is going ahead. Big concerts is going ahead, but we do also see like sort of some big spreads, you know, from Christmas parties, for example, where a lot of people are catching COVID, and we've also seen a spread of Omicron from some of these events. So far, no real talk about imposing more restrictions.
But in terms of going into a restaurant, I still have to show my Corona pass or show proof of recovery from COVID, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So Denmark lifted almost all of their remaining restrictions in September, but then they reimposed them, some of them, including the Corona passport and the mask mandate in public transportation in November. But yeah, so the waiter will ask you, can I see your Corona pass? And then you will show it on your app and that's how it works. Yeah.
Okay. Is there much vaccine resistance in Denmark?
I mean, the short answer is no. I think it's around 90% of the population above 12 years, which has been vaccinated, and I think around 1 million has received their third shot, which is out of a population of nearly 6 million. So, but there is some, and now that we're seeing, you know, smaller kids being vaccinated, I guess we will see some more resistance from parents vaccinating their children.
Yeah. Have you started vaccinating the 5-year-olds and older?
The age group 5 to 11, they have started some, but I don't think that Denmark or any other European country has received sort of the doses from the EU yet, but they have started already. I don't know the exact numbers, and I think they are starting with sort of the 11-year-olds. So I don't know if they have yet vaccinated anyone at 5. But it is really a priority for the government because, of course, the transmission of COVID is happening among the younger age groups in schools, etc., like we see in other countries.
When we imposed our COVID passes on restaurants and we decided that you couldn't get into a restaurant or a bar without a COVID pass, it turned out that much of the hospitality, well, a fraction of it, was not asking for these COVID passes. How is it in your country, Stina? Do the restaurants generally obey the rules and ask for the pass?
It's a good question. I mean, this will sort of be my personal experience, but I would say yes. So even if you just go to a cafe to sit down and have a cup of coffee, you know, not like a real proper restaurant, then they will still ask for it, and they are pretty strict. I mean, I'm based in Copenhagen. Of course, you will probably find places where they aren't asking for it, but my impression is that it is something that they are requiring.
Okay, so they are pretty disciplined in that. Stine Jakobsen, thank you very much for joining us from Copenhagen. Finally, we're going to Belgium, which has recently seen protests against new COVID restrictions as the country is battling a surge which is even exceeding the most pessimistic of scenarios expected by the experts. And joining me now, political reporter Eddie Wax. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Can hear you loud and clear. So what is the story in Belgium? How bad is this current surge?
It's bad. It's very bad. And I think there's a general sense of real worry. And a lot of people are feeling also, I think understandably, just very fed up of this whole thing. I mean, there's around 900 people in intensive care now. So the hospitals and, you know, the health authorities are really very concerned about this. So that's why we've seen quite a toughening of restrictions in the last couple of weeks.
And the protests, the nature of them, how organized are they and who is organizing them?
Well, it's a ragtag bunch of different groups in society. You have the hardcore anti-vaxxers. You have some more violent elements. There were protests on Sunday of around 8,000 people in the streets of Brussels, where I'm normally based. But you know, that was far fewer than the protests 2 weeks before that, where there was an estimated 35,000 people. And those first protests were the ones which turned violent. And there were, you know, elements in those crowds, you know, I don't know whether they're politically motivated, but they were smashing up bus stops and generally, you know, throwing e-scooters around and making a horrible mess. So, you know, there is a small but vocal minority of anti-vaxxers who are determined to sort of show their displeasure at the tightening of restrictions.
Now, how tight are those restrictions? You know, are restaurants and bars closing early? Are they closed entirely? What do you have to do if they are open and you want to access them?
Well, I mean, I would say that they're not. It's not incredibly closed. You know, it's not. But we have restaurants now and bars, and you know, most sort of cultural venues need to close by 11 p.m. But I mean, having come, and you have to show a COVID pass everywhere in Belgium. But that's been the case for a long time already. I mean, we came out of a sort of never-ending lockdown from sort of late October last year and up until, you know, the spring. So we had almost 6 months of the rules barely changing. And then we've had this period, you know, ever since May of things being relatively relaxed and open. And now now they're saying, you know, work from home 4 out of 5 days a week. And, you know, things are closing at 11 and there's a maximum 200 person cap on cultural events, like concerts and things like that. And, you know, well, I think what's getting the main focus in the news in Belgium is what's happening with schools, because there's been a lot of protest about that. The health authorities, the kind of the experts and the kind of advisory committees wanted to shut schools for 10 days, and they eventually reached a compromise a few days ago to close them from the 18th of December. So there's going to be a longer Christmas break for the kids in primary school than was originally foreseen, and yeah, so that's been causing a bit of controversy.
Yeah, is the impetus for all the restrictions and clamping down on things to do with the hospital capacity?
I think that's the main motor of it. You know, but there are still quite a lot of cases. I mean, it's not just because of that, but obviously, you know. At the same time, many people are vaccinated. It's about 75% of people are fully vaccinated. So, it's to do with the fact that there's 2,000 seats available, not seats, beds available in intensive care in Belgium, and we're already kind of at around 900. So, if things go on as they are, then it's not looking good.
All right. What's the population of Belgium, Eddie?
It's around 11 million.
Okay, so I'm just trying to do the calculation. You've got 2,000 for about twice our population. So we are grossly underprovided with intensive care beds, with only 500 or thereabouts available to us. And that tends to be the reason why restrictions are introduced, because they get worried about having no room at the inn, basically, for those who may be very ill. Eddie Wax, thank you very much for joining us. Eddie Wax of Politico, giving us the lowdown on what's going on in Belgium.